From the creators of Relevant Magazine, this is the Relevant Podcast. Tuesday, November 20th, 2018, and it's the Relevant Podcast. I'm your host, Cameron Strang, and we have a special one, a weird one, in store for you today. Here with me in our Orlando studios, on the ones and twos, our illustrious editor, my brother, Chandler Strang.
Hello.
On the Skype line from Nashville, Tennessee, Tyler Huckabee.
Hey, everybody.
This is, like I said, it's an unusual show, so Annie is not on the recording today either. Joining us from Gainesville, Florida, Eddie Koffeltz.
Yeah, nice to see you.
The big cat is back. Jesse's still on vacation. Mm-hmm. And a very special addition, joining us here live in studio, our good friends, John Christ.
What up?
And Aaron Tuning.
We out here.
Baby.
Come on.
Aaron, I got to be honest with you. We've corresponded. We've met over the years. We've corresponded. I would consider, you know, social media.
Right.
It is only in the last year. I mean, it's been years that we've communicated. It's only in the last year that I realized your last name had an N. I thought your name was always the answer to what's that noise?
Yeah.
Aaron Chewing.
Every trophy I ever got as a kid says Chewing.
Aaron
I'm
Chewing.
Used to it.
Okay,
so it's not offensive.
It's not. It's Chewing.
Yep.
Okay.
How many trophies did you get as a kid?
So many participation trophies.
Impressive, man. I got one for the jogathon in first grade and then,
trophy.
I stopped jogging till right now.
You guys are on tour right now and they're playing Orlando tonight. And so they were kind enough to come in. Hey, did mom buy you a ticket?
She did.
Oh,
come on, dude.
She's a huge fan.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Your mom
multi-generational.
Does love me. Your mom does love me.
Multi-generation. Yep. The whole Strang clan will be there.
John, just last night, I got an email from the Ryman. You're playing the historic The Mother Church.
Oh, yeah. We're playing
here in Nashville,
there.
Tennessee. The Ryman. Yeah, that's like Johnny Cash. That's the
playing,
big time.
Yeah. People are into it, man. Yeah,
and I don't know how to ask this in a polite way, but how do
I'll
I get
tickets.
How do I?
Yeah, I'll get
what's
tickets.
The.
I'll get that.
Yeah.
I want to
butter me
for
up
you,
with compliments. Cameron, this funny story. So I'm like, I'm 34.
Yeah.
It's a perfect example. So, like, I live in an apartment complex right by Belmont, a bunch of college kids. Like,
wait, you do? You don't live in LA?
I live in Nashville. Yeah, sorry, I just moved to Nashville.
Why?
We should have covered that. Oh, just for traveling. It's easier touring.
Wow.
Anyway,
you have
so
to.
Like,
yeah. LA didn't work
to.
Out?
Yeah.
Why'd you move to LA? And then why did you move away from
okay,
LA?
Okay, I moved to LA because they were like, pretty much like, hey, they're like, you're funny, but like, your name on the marquee at the Ryman is not going to sell any tickets because no one knows who you are. This is 5 years ago. I moved to LA and like, they wanted me to get in like a sitcom or like a movie.
But so you went to LA for TV?
No. Well, yeah, probably. Because they were like, you got to be popular to sell tickets. Because all I wanted to do was live stand up. I didn't really.
Really?
I wanted to. A lot of comics trying to get into TV. I just love the feedback of. Somebody asked Jerry Seinfeld why he never wrote a book. He said, because I can't hear the laughs.
Oh, wow. Hmm.
I was like, dang. So, but
so you failed at television?
I wouldn't say that.
God almighty. Be cool.
Wow.
Yeah, he went to be on a sitcom and ended up being a prank show, like, punked actor.
And then I got around the whole system. Because now, like, all I just wanted to do is, like, sell 5,000 tickets in Orlando, and I can now without that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's like, yeah, they were like, yeah, you should like in pilot season, it was February. They were like, my agent was like, you got to stay here for like trial for like pilot. I was like, yeah, but like, there's a lot of, I would have to cancel a lot of work.
Right.
To do like it. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, I think my, I think I'm good.
Plus you want to get close to Lifeway. You want to be anywhere way far away.
Well, he's on the board now. So he's on the board now. So, you know, he has all those meetings.
My DVD is out of Lifeway.
Why?
Yeah, well, I preemptively, we're just like, hey, let's just.
You don't want it there.
Let's part ways.
No way, really?
Yeah. Let's part ways.
They
now.
Banned us our very first issue back in 2003.
They're cool, dude. They're good people, but yeah.
Are they?
Okay.
Everybody's got to protect.
John's like, well, still. Okay.
They?
I can't really.
Everybody's
got to
protect
totally.
Their own. You know what I'm saying? I get it.
Do you?
Yeah. I mean, anyway, we don't have to talk about this.
So 2 years ago, you and Aaron are making dumb videos on the internet.
Yeah.
And then a year ago-ish, you came through our studio for, you had a gig in Lakeland, and you sold 1,400 seat sold out a 49 seat theater that night. And I was like,
oh,
whoa.
Remember?
Because my mom was there. She told me all about it. And
Cameron, then, why can't you be more like John? He's just funny. Yes.
No, literally. Things like that.
Sorry, just so wholesome. I'm so proud of him. Why can't you be John?
We love him. And, can he come to Christmas?
And now you guys, now you're touring, 20, 30 dates. And I just saw you added a leg for the spring.
You're selling
out theaters. My mom was telling me months ago you sold out Orlando, a 5,000 seat thing, months in advance.
Oh, yeah.
We don't. You didn't add a second show like you did for some of your cities.
It was a Friday.
Why?
So we added a second show on Saturdays because people are working. We only have matinees. I mean, we could like.
I think a lot of your fans are jobless.
Oh, God Almighty!
Like relevant readers can talk.
They don't work. It's a gig economy. They're in coffee shops. They can
come see you. John, I'm a fan, and I have a very exciting career right now. You have a great job. So don't listen to him.
He's logging in from Frothy Monkey right now.
Right now, he's
writing a screenplay. I'm sure.
John, question for you: when you were a little kid growing up, listening to CCM, did you ever think to yourself, you know what, I'm going to be on a cruise ship opening for these guys someday?
Did you have to bring that up?
You did? You were the comic?
I'm going on the DC Talk cruise, dude. Stop it. Yes, dude.
Okay. Yeah, you put it on social media. It's not like some insider information.
I don't think I put it out. I haven't announced it yet.
Oh my
they
gosh.
Put it out.
Why? Okay, I have a question.
Okay, let's hear it.
Why?
Well, first of all, I saw DC Talk at the Fox Theater when I was like 10, and it changed my whole life.
Yeah.
And Toby and Michael.
You said I need to build the rest of my life. I need to make fun of this.
I need to get to there.
Calling him Toby is so cool. I felt great hearing you say that.
Toby.
Me and Toby. Cool. Me and the Tobe.
John, are you worried? Are you a little worried that, you know, because you have a promising career going, but are you worried about what people will think when they hear that you're a Jesus freak?
Let's not do this.
No.
Okay. We're doing like we tour obviously by myself, and then we're taking a couple dates like with for King and Country. We're doing like a weekend with them.
They're good guys.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
Then also we're doing like a weekend with like Larry the Cable Guy.
Really?
Yeah.
You really are all over the map. I love it, man.
In February. Yeah.
So who's the John Crist fan in your mind?
Dude, you know what? It's not for everybody. And if it's not for you, I don't mind if it's not for you. Not you personally, but like somebody.
It's for me.
No,
I'm going
like,
tonight.
Yeah. If you're like into it, then people are like, yo, I'm like into it. But yeah. I don't try. I'm not. When in L.A., I was at the Comedy Magic Club, which is a comedy club, and they had always told me, like,
the Magic Club, the castle?
No, that's different. Oh, that's different. So they were like, hey, my agents out there when I first moved were like, hey, you got to get away from this Christian stuff. You got to be more like mainstream. You got to like kind of cut that out of your act. Kathleen Madigan, I believe, was doing a in front of me, and she had a bit about Moses and the burning bush. And everyone was dying.
Yeah.
In a comedy club. Everyone was dying. And that's
Gaffigan always does Jesus stuff.
It changed my whole life because I was like, what just happened?
Wait, more than Jesus freak? More than a Jesus talk?
This
concert?
Is the second time. Okay, yeah.
Got rebaptized.
I go, what just happened? And she's like, yeah, everybody knows these things. Everybody knows about like Jonah, David and Goliath, Jesus had disciples, churches need money. All these things are like, you like a lot of comics that are like Theo Vaughn is like very specifically like Southern, and he just like owns that's who he is. So like I go out with Larry, it'd probably be different material than when a little bit, you know what I'm saying? But for the most part, everybody knows about like
a few more like racist slurs, things like that.
Yeah, you get a lot of fart jokes, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I don't care who you are, that's funny. Yeah.
What about when you get out on international waters with DC Talk? Do you feel like you're gonna really let the material
no rules? No rules, dude.
No rules, just right.
I think those guys, I had like a roast. You know, I got kicked out of the Caleb Fan Awards.
No,
because of my roast.
Who kicked you out?
All right, so it played.
Bob Lifeway came over and said, that's enough.
I did a roast, and then it got cut from when it aired. And I murdered everyone. Because I got to make sure, like, if I was on, let's say I'm on the DC Talk cruise or I'm on Winter Jam, I got to make sure I'm still being me out there.
Right.
So, like, everybody knows what I do. If you've invited me out here to be on this, you're expecting. So I was like, hey, give it up for everybody that's going to win a K-Love Fan Award tonight and go home and think to themselves, I wish this was a Grammy.
Great job.
And I was like, I go, give it up.
Did that work in the room?
No.
Okay.
Everyone was pissed.
I heard that.
Yeah. You heard it, Bob?
Yeah.
Word no, got back bad. To your best friend. Oh, buddy. Your friend bombed.
I was like, great. Hey, how about it? This is great to be here celebrating the same five bands we've been celebrating the last 15
Stop
years.
It.
Oh, oh yeah. Man. You are the Norm MacDonald of the K-Love Awards. Loving it.
I was like, hey, just so you know, Song of the Year is going to be awarded tonight. And just so you know, when you're done, when you're sick of hearing that song, Caleb's going to run it for the next 10 years.
No.
Yes, I did.
What?
I said it live.
No.
Yes, I did.
Oh, man.
I go, Kim Walker, congratulations. She's not here, but I haven't seen her, but I heard her laugh. Like I said. Oh. Or like, I just like, I, but they were like, you can't put this on the, I was like, you knew this is what I do. Have you seen?
I can't believe you said the thing about they're going to play it for the next 10 years.
It's great.
They were like, yeah, we can't air this.
That's
I can't
amazing.
Believe Drag Cameron's them. Mom still has such affection for you.
That's what I'm saying.
Also, you did that. Yeah,
but is she coming on the cruise?
No.
She likes
God,
cruises.
No, don't even talk
easy,
about that.
Yeah. You need a new stepdad, Cameron?
If she knew you were on the if she knew you were on the cruise, she'd be like, hey, we should do a family vacation. Yeah. I almost, when they did the first DC Talk cruise, Eddie and I, we almost went. We almost bought tickets to go. And I thought, this is me hilarious. This is great.
Yeah, this is
nostalgic, ironic, let's go have a good time.
The
and then
game.
I thought, and then I thought, I'm going to be on a boat with a bunch of people who aren't here because it's funny. I don't want to be on the boat with the people on the boat.
Yeah.
It's not DC Talk. It's not, you know, it's
the pure fanatics.
I don't think I'm going to roast it. I mean, I will, but I do. I'm not going to be like, oh, hammer it and then go in my
is
room.
Is it you,
I will go,
then them, or is there a whole lineup?
No,
is it a festival?
So everybody does, like, the big theater on the ship can only fit, like, 2,000 people. So I'll do, like, three shows, but the same show. So, like, the A group comes in Monday night, the B group, you know what I'm saying? Because everybody can't fit, the whole boat can't fit in the theater at once. So that they'll do the same thing.
Wow.
Which is, yeah, I don't
so
know.
So is that like pinnacle, career pinnacle? Is that like, where do you go from there?
Or yeah, I mean, you can't go up from here, I don't think. I mean, the Tonight Show, Netflix, you're like, nah, dude, I've already made it, bro. Yeah.
No, you're good.
I'm already here, yeah. I forgot
what has
you guys
been your most like surreal career moment? Like the point at which you were like, this is not anything I would have ever dreamed for.
Oh, man. What are you saying?
I'm going to say right now, we've been on, you know, tour for a while. I show up this weekend and it's a tour bus and then a semi truck carrying the set and all the other stuff. Mm-hmm. It is now fully wrapped with a ton of John's face on it and like his Instagram handle on a semi truck.
Wow.
So everyone showed up this week and it just is outrageous.
Do you get to keep it like driving around Nashville? Just
people are always like texting me like, hey, I think I'm driving on 75 South and I think I just passed a truck with your face on it.
I gotta say that John, my favorite part of the whole new, like the new and improved John Chris machine is that on Instagram, when you've sold out a show, which you've done a lot of, so congratulations, but it always says like John Chris sold out. And I always think that's not what they're trying to say, but it makes me laugh every single time.
I mean, but it is kind of, let's be real.
So you went to LA to do the TV thing and then it wasn't the right fit because what you wanted to do was stand up. And right now, if you're selling out 50 dates, you know, tours, 58 tours, multi-thousand seat theaters, you know, and you have your face on a semi, that's kind of like peak stand up.
Yeah.
So, you're 34.
I'm 34.
You going to just ride this wave K-Love style or are you going to what are you going to do?
Well, you know, we're doing First Baptist Orlando tonight, but we do like the Fox Theater in Atlanta, the Ryman. We did the, so like.
Trying to shift it to mainstream would be the next step.
Yeah, just because like a lot of people like in like a lot of people that are my fans say that Disney video that came out, like a lot of those people are going to be here tonight. They were like, we don't know anything about Jesus or like a church or what happened. We don't know, but like. Right. So First Baptist Orlando, like, yeah, we like him, but I don't know what happens in there.
Right.
So like, and I don't know. But like, so if there was like a,
next,
I play basketball. If there was like an open mic, open gym at like a synagogue, I'd be like, or like a mosque, I'd be like, I don't know what they do in there.
Right.
I would be nervous.
Am I allowed in there?
Yeah. You know? Or like, like people are literally, my buddies are like, dude, I can't come to First. I might be struck dead. They won't be. But like, they like a church is very like.
If it was a charismatic church, they might.
Yeah,
100%.
But is there going to be an altar call? Do they ask for offering? How do we associate those things with that building?
Right.
But like at the comedy club, we did like the West Palm Beach Improv, and it was packed full of like people that were like, young, stylish, drinking, and the more traditional church crowd is scared to go there.
Right. So you just got to do both.
So we just got to do a neutral venue.
Right.
Where like it's at the theater, we're like, hey, everybody, if you love me from the Disney movie or you love me from the church road rage or the pastor fantasy draft, we can all be in here together.
Right.
Which is ideal.
Did any of those pastors get mad at you?
The only pastors that got mad were the ones that weren't in it.
Yeah.
That they weren't famous enough to be in it.
Right.
They were like, dude, I can't be, I'm not famous enough to be in it.
Well, the answer is no.
Yeah. No. I
mean, sorry.
Yeah.
It's not my fault.
Yeah.
It's not,
hey, get more Twitter followers. Right. Dude, sorry.
You need to market yourself better.
But we were careful in there to not like, go after somebody's like character. Like, if
you could have, there were a few names in there.
Yeah.
You could
Yeah. But I was like, I'm at conference. The problem with like, I'm at conferences and like, with all these guys. Or like right. DC, we had like a DC talk that I roasted them at the, but they were there. Like if I was going to roast you, it wouldn't be like, if I had jokes about you and then somebody told me like, hey, Cameron's coming to the show tonight. If I would take that joke out, that I should not be saying that anyway.
Right. That's true.
Say it. And if it, like we roast each other all the time on the bus, I'm like, dude, that's freaking hilarious. But it's not like the Joel Osteen jokes I have. He knows I tell him and he thinks they're hilarious.
He has a good sense of humor.
Yeah, he does, which makes me so happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, dude, that's like Andy Stanley. Great sense of humor. You can like roast him, but there's certain people that.
And you've danced on the line before. Like the Pastor Fantasy Draft, we're being overly complimentary, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, they have great numbers. It's sarcastic, but it's also nice. Or like the Christian music record deal. It's a little more pointed
like,
and
geez,
edgy.
Dude.
Where I know a week after that came out, you did some festival with all of them.
Yeah.
And you said
you
definitely got some side.
Well, I stay in my own green room. So if people are like, dude, we love you. What's up, dude? We're huge fans. Or like people just keep their.
Yeah. I mean, you said more Water references. That's not offensive. I mean,
but like the revolving doors. Yeah. The news. Yeah. Voice, there's like a little on the wrong day that could rub them the wrong way. I don't know.
I mean, but at the end of the day,
what do you think about this? Like people, we all talk about like haters on the internet, like you at some point or me or you have been the hater.
No.
Yes, you have.
We're on the internet.
He's basketball games, but yes.
Yeah, okay, that's true. Yeah. Basketball games. That's true. That's
no,
true.
If you come out as critical of some, you are to them, not to a hater of their new book or their right. If you give a bad review,
right.
Someone that's critical of my comedy or me as a person but then I realize, oh wait, I might also be.
You just have a mic.
The hater. And if you hate on Papa John's or something, their social media team's like, who is this guy with the blue check mark? Hate, you wouldn't consider yourself that.
I
wouldn't
Papa consider John's hater. No.
You wouldn't consider yourself a hater on the internet.
I hear what you're saying though.
You know what I'm saying?
We'll just keep workshopping this. Because it's going to land. You're going to get there.
I always get off stage and Dustin or Aaron would be like, I thought I had a great set. And they'd be like, hey, where did you think he lost them?
That's so good. It just takes you right back down.
He's like, hey, dude. He's like, hey, typical Thursday night crowd. What? Yeah.
No. I was really proud of myself until that moment.
Oh, no.
Oh, man. All right. I am curious, though. So, like, the life of a stand-up, I mean, you guys have it's like a grind that never stops. You have to keep feeding the beast. You can't get off the wheel.
No, I can't get off it.
Because you can't cash out and do your movie and get that, you know, $20 million payday and just kind of ride it. You got to like book the next gig. Is it exhausting to think about the next 30 years of your life being having it?
No. I mean,
you're excited.
I like it. I don't like the travel and maybe that kind of stuff is like a lot, but like I live for it.
Yeah.
I live for it.
So you're doing your dream right now.
100%. Because we were talking about making a Key and Peele type Chappelle type show they put on TV, like a Comedy Central. And he goes, dude, that's taking a gigantic step back because your video, like
you already built that platform.
Yeah. He's like, you know, Conan gets 250,000 views a night.
Yeah.
If I like, wow. He was like, why would you take all these bits? And then they were like, oh, that's good. Now the advertising money hasn't come to the internet yet.
Right.
But when it does, then.
Right.
He's like, why would you? I'm worried about people seeing the videos, not so much making money from them. Like, we need to, because that's how we feel.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So,
So that's cool. I mean, a lot of people kind of have, you know, I've observed, you know, kind of do the stand-up thing or the, you know, they do a speaking gig at a conference because they kind of have to.
Yeah, because they like to write books.
So whatever they want. Right, but they have to do that to be able to do the other thing. But you're doing the thing that you wanted to do.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. That's awesome, man. Yeah. I mean, cool. Yeah, 100%. It's like you, like you got, you know, a new jokes. You're like, man, I thought of a bit, like this week, here's the thing to never do to someone when you wake up in the morning. Never text someone and tell them they were in your dream. Just never do that. You ever had a dream about someone and then texted them?
Yeah.
Dude, you were my, don't ever. It's and weird. I was like thinking of a bit like I should work. Like, when has it ever worked out well for you? Just someone you haven't talked to in a year and a half. Hey, what's up, man? You were my dream. Guy or girl. You're like, hey, don't. What happened in it? Sorry for texting. I didn't mean it. That's my bet. Yeah.
How do you have a normal life being on the road all the time? Like, I mean, how do you have like friends and family and
my testimony
do you
now?
Date?
Or do you? You just bring your friends out on tour now.
Yeah, just bring my buddies out on the road. Yeah. I mean, we all stay together. We leave Wednesday night and we come back. I mean, the tour is only like 3 months.
Right.
I mean,
but then you're doing another one.
Yeah. And then I got like 3 months off and then I'll do another one.
Yeah.
So how do you like have any sense of normalcy?
I mean, I guess I don't.
How do you serve at your local church when you're gone so much?
Oh God.
I'm gone every Sunday.
John's right. Actually, it's not working out for me and things are falling apart. So let's get back to the bits.
Anyway, I got this new bit.
What I'm trying to say is, are you a sad clown? Are you making everybody laugh to
mask a lot of
deep pain?
You guys got a brand to protect here. Keep going.
Like, yeah,
problem. I love it.
Really?
Yeah. I wouldn't say sad, but it's like people, like a lot of times they would email and they'd be like, hey, you know, I'm going through, you know, chemo or a divorce or whatever. And your jokes. So a girl messaged and she goes, hey, my parents like fight a lot. They're verbally abusive. And when they are, I go to my room and put on my headphones and watch your, and it does the same thing to me that it does to go make them.
Yeah.
Because you can go to Disney World, turn on your camera, and become this guy that is acting out this thing. Or I could be with Aaron, and I'm this pastor. I'm escape. It's escape for my own life too. Yeah. Anyway, not to get too serious.
No, I don't know y'all's world. The comedy world is you know something that I love, but I'm not part of. But when you learn more about the stories of some of the top comics or people giving their life to that, from a place of deep
pain. Some of them have literally given their life. To, you know what I'm saying? A lot of comics commit suicide and are like depressed, but like a lot of everyone is depressed. Yeah. A lot of accountants are depressed. They're not verbal. You're not hearing from that. You know what I'm saying? Comics. Yeah,
that's true.
Whatever is, we're all, on the surface is like what we are discussing. They're jokes, but they're not. You come to the show, it's not jokes. I mean, it is jokes, but it's like it comes from real places.
I think a big part of that too is the lifestyle. As far as, I mean, you're in the 1% of comics now, you know, with a bus tour and whatnot.
Sure.
But most people, you know, in a band, you travel around with a little community. Or here you have a community now, but normally.
Or float around as the case.
Yeah.
I was out there, dude, for 7 years. Like Lakeland, I came by myself.
Yeah.
I came by myself.
You're going to tiny
out.
Towns. Yeah. You're in smoky bars. You don't know anybody. So you just sit at the bar, go to your hotel. It's super sad.
And you're Christian, so I can drink alone now in the bar, in the private. Yeah, <just kidding. laughs> I was like, I got to wear these sunglasses and this mustache again to go in here? It's brutal.
Do you feel, obviously, because you have a very, like, a public persona that's very funny, people probably expect that from you 24/7. They don't want that mask to drop. So when they meet you, they want more of the same. They want on-stage John Chris to be off-stage John Chris.
Yeah. Well, that's what makes it hard to, like, date, I think, because, like, I met, like, Bill Simmons is, like, I love his podcast. It's, like, so I saw him in the airport. I went up to him. I was like, dude, what's up, dude? How's your daughter's, like, soccer game? Like, it was crazy. And he was like, whoa, dude. Like, I don't know. Sure. And I was like, oh, I just did the thing to you that people do to me. Because if they've been listening to you for 5 years, they see you at 7-Eleven. Yo, Cameron, what's up, dude? Last weekend, and you're like, I don't. So a girl would be like, hey, I think I
got feelings for you.
But you've been cultivating a relationship with me on the internet for 4 years.
Oh, wow.
And every day, Instagram stories and video. So you create this fake thing. It's not fake, but they think they like you, but they don't know the real me. You know what I'm saying?
Is that hard?
You're not joking, right? You're being
no,
serious.
No, I'm not joking.
No,
at all.
He's being totally serious, which is then making me laugh because I enjoy this kind of jokes. Comedy.
Yeah.
This is when it gets funny for me. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was. I would probably say if you, this. I don't know if this is sad or not, but like the top 10 best moments of my life, probably 6 or 7 of them happened on a stage at a comedy show.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Is it like a drug that keeps you coming back?
Yeah.
Like that's 100%. Why I need.
Yeah.
I need.
Yeah. Yeah. I can take time off, but like you think about like if I'm at my apartment complex back home, I'm just like a dude getting the mail and like taking out the trash. Like a.
Right.
But then out here, I'm like a.
Your face is on a semi.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So like, which would you rather do?
If you park the semi in your apartment complex parking lot, then it changes everything. Just keep it there.
I gotta keep that
the
thing.
Semi.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, yeah. That's
man.
Flame is feeding. Semis are forever. Yeah.
I sorry for prying. I honestly love
talking about this.
Well, I mean, number one, your life and career has changed a lot in the last 3 years. And I mean, you were grinding for a long time, but then
do you
like,
think when I first came on the Relevant Podcast, my career's that was the difference maker?
Well, it did coincide with your 1,400-seat venue sellout.
I'm just saying.
No, yeah. that was right when you had, I think it was the music
yeah,
industry
that's what
video.
That's what put me on the map.
Yeah, that one. And then you started selling out bigger. And like it really did. That was literally when you started to take off. And now you're at another level again. Yeah. And I'm always curious to see how my friends are doing when life changes so rapidly.
Right.
You know,
like.
You get kind of swept up in it all, and you know the industry can chew you up and spit you out.
Yeah,
and,
you know,
it's like that's what I'm like. Are you doing the thing that makes you happy, or are you doing it because people are telling you you have to?
Yeah, 100%. But I'm like aware that like yo this like we're like they were like long we got this long term plan to like grow you into agents and managers. So I was like yo, that's all well and good, but like this could also all be over tomorrow.
Right. You're only as good as your next thing. The fact is the audience is fickle and they could go, okay, we figured out his shtick. Okay, that was fun. And now we're going to move on to a new shtick, a new person.
Or
you don't want to be a Jeff Foxworthy doing the same shows. You've toured with him. You like him. Never mind. But I mean, like there's these comics that are like, they did that one singular thing.
Yeah,
and then it's like, once you get the bit, you move on. The guy with the puppet, the guy with the guy with the get her done. Yeah. You don't want to be that, do you?
Yeah. No.
Even if you had a big house. A big empty house that you don't fill with kids because you're on the road alone all the time?
As a comedian, that makes me laugh, but it's too true. Yeah. Well, I've said to in meetings and stuff, like, hey, as a comic, if you're going to stick close to the truth, I'm literally mortgaging my career every video.
Right.
Right? Every one, I'm like, this.
Because if one jumps the shark, you're done.
This could be the end.
Yeah.
So like that pastor, like. I thought, and it's usually this could be the end, or is the biggest ones.
So the you guys, with that thought in mind, you wanted to do the bro basketball shootout. That was the one. Let's risk it all for this idea.
They could come after us.
This is the idea.
Can you
imagine you just walk down the street and frisbees just start hitting you out of nowhere?
Where are they coming from? They were like the Christian music one. I was like, we need them to promote shows, and we work very closely with K-Love, and
you do bite the hand that feeds you quite a bit.
Yeah, and this could be the end.
It's a little nibbles.
When is it you lose the joy straying audience?
When
is it you just cross the joy straying line? That's she's just like, she's you know what? Done. He's not fun anymore.
Yeah, he's a, all right. I went out to, in Nashville, I went downtown. This is a couple nights ago. We were like having a drink, downtown on Broadway. There was a bunch of people in there were like, John, what's up, dude? We're so happy you're here. Like, dude, no one was getting crazy. We were just sitting down there having a drink. Like, oh, this is amazing. We love you, dude. We're so excited you come down here and hang out. This is incredible. I didn't know that, like, we didn't know what kind of guy you were. This is amazing. And then you also get, like an Instagram message, like, hey, dude, I thought you were, like, a Christian, and I saw you, like, drinking out in public. And I was like, hey, if that is your, like, conviction, awesome. Like, let's just part ways now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like I'm good. Like, if you, like, we have jokes that are in every video, like that one was across the line in every comment section. Like, hey, we can I'm good with you parting here. I'm not mad at you for being like, I'm not mad at like the church or a Christ. I'm not angry. I love the local church. I think the local church is our only hope. That being said, we do some weird stuff. But I think there's other voices in our faith that cross the line. Mm-hmm. So who is the judge of the line?
Right.
Right?
Sure.
I don't know.
Well, and also, I mean, with some of the Christian community, right? Like you can write a piece about social justice for a major publication that you know explores the intersection of faith and culture and shut get up. Completely slaughtered. Like,
right? Like, hypothetically, just hypothetically.
That wouldn't happen.
I mean, it's a hard market, man.
Do you read the comments?
I watch
them all the time.
Why?
Oh, well, because they're usually on him, so I'm good.
So it's great.
I send him a few, and I'm like, oh.
If you ever, I roast myself more than anyone else. Like, I'm always, like, trashing on my own, like, retweeting things, like, well done, or, like, you know what I'm saying? Because, it's very disarming. Like, yeah, he's roasting so-and-so, but he also doesn't think he's the man. He also is like, this is ridiculous that we have this bus and this, like, this is stupid. You know what I'm saying? It's not like, I'm like, yeah, this is why I got to the top because I'm making fun of everybody else. I'm like, yeah, dude, I don't, in the show, like, I'm like, don't listen to anything I'm talking about. I don't know. I'm an idiot. Like, these are, don't follow me. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's kind of very like, hey, I'm an idiot.
Your dad is a pastor, right?
Yeah.
Are they proud of you?
Yeah, extremely.
Now, so many shows, see the same show over and over.
They do? They come out?
They come out. Now that I'm successful.
My mom has never once visited this office.
Dang, dude. Joy's her name?
Joy.
Get
you know why?
She's not going to hear this.
She's never listened to the show. She's never read our magazine.
That's not true.
It's absolutely true. Number one, she told me she won't come to this office because it's so far. She didn't like coming downtown.
Oh, yeah.
The venue tonight is past downtown. Further than the relevant office to see you.
It's just a convenient thing to say.
Are you going to see her there? Are you going to look at her? And
I think we're sitting.
Slit the throat.
Yeah, he's sitting with her. I'm sitting wherever you got me tickets.
Do you want me to put you in a good word on the show or something? Like that?
Shout out.
I might change things. Not gonna lie.
I would say because Adam, have you ever listened to Adam Carolla's podcast?
Yeah, yeah.
He talks a lot about the same thing, about his parents, like, they have no idea about.
They have no idea.
No idea. The books, podcast, no idea at all. But, like, you know, he'd have, like, Barbara Streisand on, and then they'd be like, oh, what? Or, like, or whoever is but a lot of, like.
So your parents are proud of you, even though you're mocking everything they stand for?
Nah, they live for it, dude.
That's
they
awesome. Live for it. Are they funny?
My dad's funny.
Okay. Yeah, so is that where you got it?
Yeah. But I just kind of took it to the next level.
But he would, growing up, he was like little
sarcastic. Yeah, he was always like roasting people. Yeah, he was always roasting people. Yeah.
That's like, good for a pastor, you know, roast people.
I think
it's an interesting Sunday experience when the pastor
He wasn't roasting people from stage. He wasn't doing that on stage. I started that, but he was like always in life. He's like, oh, really? That's what you're going to wear today?
Roasting like, just people funny from like the that. Stage. Look at that fat one in the front. Now, you, sir.
Yeah.
Marge, really? We went with that hat this week? Come on, Marge.
Just starting with crowd work.
Just crowd work on a Sunday morning.
First 15 minutes getting them warm. I should do that.
Dude, that's a church I'd go to. I'd sit in the back, but I'd go.
See, like, I don't want to get roasted.
Hey, all right, this is fun. We have a quick game that we want to play with you guys. Like, just a few minutes. Stay tuned up next. We're going to play a game with John and Ren. You're listening to Broods. The song is Peach. At the beginning of the podcast, you heard James Bay with his new one, Pink Lemonade. Okay, it is time for a game that I have no idea what we're doing. Tyler Huckabee, take it away.
All right, guys, this game is called Pure Flixes for Real. Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to read you the title of a real Pure Flix movie. And then I'm going to read you three plot synopses.
Oh, yeah.
One of these is the real plot synopsis, and the other two are fake. You guys just have to guess which one is the correct one.
We did this last time.
We did a few similar things.
People still mention that to me. Yeah. And it was like metal music.
Yeah. You did the Christian band. Are the secular band, they need to pick the Christian band.
There's
a song as well. That's what it was.
It was something about like the end times movie. or or metal band.
There's so many that,
and I nailed all of them.
You did. You crushed it. We thought you'd get tripped up. But all right, no.
Aaron's taking this.
Keep the streak alive.
All right, here we go.
This is going to be on. Don't put your first L on the board.
Big Pure Flix guy.
Aaron, you go first.
Okay. Here we go. So this Pure Flix movie is called Me Again. All right.
Seen it.
I'm going to read you three synopses. One of these is true. From the outside looking in, Rich Chaplin has everything that any pastor and family man could ever want. However, in reality, he has lost sight of everything that matters most.
It's Pastor Chaplin is his name?
Rich Chaplin is his name.
A Rich Chaplin, that's amazing.
That's so like hokey that it gives it away, or it might be.
Pastor Reverend.
Think about that.
All right, Creflo Dollar is a real thing.
All right. After a horse riding accident ruins the promising ice skating career of Joy Lovescent, she learns her true value through a burgeoning friendship with a mysterious pastor and family man.
Joy Lovescent.
There's no way that one.
All seems lost when pastor and family man Ken Christenman loses his memory.
Stop, dude.
See, the problem is one of these names is for real, and they're all
horrible. That's the problem.
But with this memory loss comes a surprising new knowledge of what matters most.
It's cool. What's the title of the movie again?
Me Again.
Yeah, starring Doug Heavenchurch.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Chaplin.
You are correct. That was the real
name. No, Rich Chaplin is a real name.
And that was the most realistic name.
That's amazing.
You should have switched up Chaplin to B. That Chaplin should have been the B option, and that would have been harder.
Yeah, that's right.
We're just getting started. Don't give me any ideas. I'll still switch these out. All right. Ready for round two?
Who's this? Who's this for?
It's for you.
I'm ready.
All right. This one is called In the Blink of an Eye.
Okay.
A pastor and family man loses his eyesight in a skiing accident, but gains newfound insight into the things that matter most.
All right, it's not that.
I don't know. That sounds like a Pure Flix movie.
Okay.
Yeah. In the blink of an eye.
After police detectives save a pop star, her manager invites them for a weekend in Mexico on his yacht, but the perfect vacation turns to terror when his wife and friends go missing and the police detective must learn a new lesson about the things that matter most.
Ooh.
Oh, wow, that's
that feels too action.
That's traumatic.
Budget-wise, I don't think they're filming in Mexico. I don't think Flix is down there.
Hold on, we watched their soap opera, Hilton Head Island. We watched it. The entire Christian soap opera was filmed on a green screen. So if they were in an office building, it was green. If they were in the living room, they had like an actual chair, and then the rest of the ornate room was a green screen. You could tell.
Yeah.
The entire thing was.
Are you serious?
So they could do this movie.
And you can fake Mexico. Breaking Bad just makes it like a little orange in there, Mexico all of a sudden. You know?
Yeah.
All right. And last one. Clive Lewis has everything a pastor and family man could ever want.
Why is it always pastor and family man?
But when his blind wife miraculously receives her eyesight, he realizes what he's been missing all along may just be what matters most.
Blink
of an eye.
I want to go toward that one because he would not make that kind of name up. Because your names are throwing you off, I feel like. Oh. What's the guy's name?
Clive Lewis.
Jesus, holy man.
I'm gonna go with three.
I'm sorry, the answer was the police detective on the Mexican yacht.
So action packed. I'll give Pure Flix just for that.
I think the gist of it is that his wife and daughter were raptured. It's like a rapture situation movie.
Yeah.
So they go missing, like they vanish.
Read it again.
Pure Flix has a plot twist in their back pocket for any movie. Throw a rapture
detectives.
They have standing M. Night Shyamalan moment in every movie.
Rapture. Yeah.
They were raptured.
After police detectives save a pop star, her manager invites them for a weekend in Mexico on his yacht, but the perfect weekend turns to terror when his wife and friends go missing and he must learn a new lesson about what matters most.
Pop star. Wow. I'm telling you, that's a very secular plot line for Pure Flix.
Very mainstream.
I can't believe it's true.
All right, next one.
Two more. We'll call this and then we'll be done with it. This one is called. Is this one going to you, Aaron?
Yeah, it's Aaron.
Yeah.
All right. This one is called Birdie and Bogey.
Golf, baby.
We're dressed for it.
You guys, can you tell? They're going to play golf right after they record this. They are both dressed in their golf gear.
You're like, all right.
They didn't invite any of us.
Just
but
coming
that's
out
fine.
With a quarter zip.
You've probably got a good read on the basic, like the thematic tension where that's
going to get a read. That's another golf pun. I like it. Keep going.
Yeah.
A 12-year-old gets cancer. She becomes a fighter, not only for herself, but her father as well. It will tear the faith of both of them and their mother as well.
So no golf, just cancer. Okay.
Right. Wow.
Next one.
Oddly titled cancer movie.
The next one. After winning the PGA tournament, a pastor, family man, and golf pro
family man, all this.
learns to start playing for what really matters.
Wait, the pastor, this, first of all, the pastor could never be a PGA. That's a full-time job. That does not exist.
Not in the Bible. By vocation, I mean, there's no vocational pastors
maker,
in the Bible.
John, a tent maker. Let's go tent making. You can do it.
Read your Bible, homie. Next.
Wow.
After a horse riding accident ruins his promising golf career, Ezra Testament learns that God's plan.
Oh, geez. Come on, dude.
You gotta just pause after the name from now on. This is
learns that God's plan is much more than par for the course.
No.
Oh, man.
All right.
Congrats on writing that last one, but it's gotta be the middle, the second one.
It has to be.
The PGA tournament one? I'm sorry, it's actually the cancer one.
No!
Oh,
no. That doesn't make any sense.
This is from IMDb.
Children have cancer.
You know it's not.
Neither does Pure Flix, really.
It's like watching a movie called like Touchdown about muscular dystrophy. What is this?
All right. All right, if you John, if you get this one, then you'll end in a
we'll
tie.
I'll know it's not true if it starts in pastor and family man. That's the giveaway that it's not accurate.
All right, so this movie is called, and it starts with an ellipsis ...
Okay,
what if?
Oh,
all right.
Oh, no clues, no context clues there.
Is it a comedy?
I'm not going to give you anything.
Give the country of origin, please.
Yeah. Can you use it in a sentence? All right. Stephen Rock has been accepted to two schools, a secular liberal arts school in New York City
and
Kingdom Bible College nearby.
Oh, yeah.
On the cusp of the deadline for his decision, he is visited by a mysterious old man who shows him the two very different paths his life could take.
How is this a movie?
That's amazing. I hope that is a movie.
Okay. All right. Got it.
It's my life, homie.
Okay. After she dies, Mary Paradise is shown that although she life may have been a waste, but the small acts of kindness she left behind have left a legacy beyond her wildest imaginations.
Oh, I can see that being legit too.
What if?
Yeah, what if? Oh, man. Right.
Stephen Rock, Mary Paradise. Keep going.
Finally, 15 years ago, Ben Walker left his girlfriend and his ministry calling for a business opportunity. Now, with a high-paying career and trophy fiancé, he is visited by an angel who gives him a glimpse into what his life would look like had he followed his calling as a pastor and family man.
And he's just like, ugh, I'm poor?
Dude, all three of those are legit.
I want to watch all of them.
I do, too.
I'm changing my bios to pastor and family man.
I like how the like a pastor, like, but he's not really a family man. He's like,
right.
Yeah,
they wouldn't be pastor. He neglects his children.
Pastor and businessman. Yeah. Whoa, that's a
pastor and golfer.
Not interesting.
I'm gonna go with A.
A.
Stephen Rock.
That'd be Stephen Rock.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. The answer was Ben Walker, visited by the angel,
who gave him a glimpse into what his life
would look like if he'd followed his calling as a pastor. And
I'm
0
for
man.
2.
Wow,
Aaron Lynch.
Aaron's
should write
the winner.
Pureflix, man.
Yeah.
You really should, man. That's some good stuff.
This might be
on the head.
This might be when the Joy's demographic moves on.
Yeah,
and they're like, hey, listen, we loved you, but 0 for 2 in the Pureflix. I think we're good. I think we know. We know what you're about.
To be honest, the other two were just spec scripts that I've been sitting on for a while. I kind of wanted to run by you guys. I know you have some contacts in LA. So
anyway, what do you guys think about these, though? You would watch them, though, right? Yeah. Like, for sure.
That's great. John Christ endorsed. All right. Thanks, guys. That was a lot of fun. Okay, stay tuned. Up next, at the end of the show, we're doing slices, folks.
I'm sentimental on the side. It doesn't really matter what's on your mind. Decided to say goodnight.
it can be hard to figure out fair pay for church staff. All too often, it's subjective, which is why we created Church Salary, a new online tool that helps churches determine fair pay levels. With Church Salary, you can quickly determine a fair salary for any role, evaluate the impact church location may have on pay, and generate informative reports for each position in your church. Leave the guesswork behind when it comes to determining pay. Visit churchsalary.com today.
You're listening to The Marias and Triathlon. The song is Drip. Okay, this is weird. This is the first slices I've ever done in 15 years without Jesse Carey. This is a two-person...
Oh, really?
This is a two-person slices. This is... But folks, this news that you're about to hear is so important, we could not miss the segment. So here it is. Slices.
Slices.
What do you have, Tyler?
Okay, so I'm wondering, have you guys ever... Cameron, you do a lot of online shopping. Have you ever purchased...
Two sites. Just two sites. Amazon and Nike. That's it.
But have you ever, while shopping Amazon and Nike, have you ever gotten bought something, were pumped about it, and then either it comes and it wasn't what you thought it was going to be, or you're like, I don't remember ordering this at all?
Both have happened.
And regularly happen.
Absolutely.
And regularly happen.
Oh, yeah. Nighttime shopping.
Dude, at the 2 a.m. Instagram scroll, Nike has a new drop. It says shop now, click, click. And then 3 days later, a box shows up. I'm like, oh, I don't remember. Oh, these are
so
cool.
Like
I don't remember.
Shoes. It was like late at night and you're like, I like those shoes. And you just, and you're like,
absolutely.
Well, this, you'll be able to relate with the plight of the gentleman we're talking about today. Apparently recently over in China, there is a day that they call Singles Day. It's like a Black Friday over here. I don't know why they call it Singles Day. That kind of alludes to some really dark things about how we use the shopping to scratch a niche that we can only be met by having someone you love and care about nearby, but it's called Singles Day.
Wow.
And
really, really went down the path. I had not put that all together, but good analysis.
I've been thinking about this slice a lot lately. I've been really working on it. Yeah. It's been a couple of days now. There's a guy who's unidentified. He posted this anonymously on Weibo, which is China's largest social media site. And he said, in the early hours of yesterday morning, when I was, he says he'd been doing some drinking, I clicked on Taobao and started shopping. All along, I thought I had only bought two sets of clothes, the man wrote, and then he decided to go in and check and see what time his clothes were going to arrive. I remembered to look up at the delivery day of my clothes, and I realized that he had bought, in addition to his two sets of clothes, a live pig.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
A peacock.
Perfect.
And something called, an animal I've never heard of, called a giant salamander.
Yeah.
No returns. He can't get rid of them. They're on the way to his home. So he is now a pet owner with three pets, a pig, a peacock, and a salamander. I think this is a blessing in disguise, because if you are allowed to actually, I don't know what the cost is. And obviously this could be sort of cost per hit. Like it could be, I feel like a peacock is probably expensive, but now you have instant conversation pieces when people come over to your house that the clothing definitely couldn't provide. And I think if I were to find, I wouldn't intentionally go out to like buy myself these animals, but if I accidentally did, I'd consider that to be like, okay, I think that's just fate now. Cause I think it'd be a cool thing to have in your house.
Yeah. I mean, what do you actually do when it shows up? Cause I mean, like there is a immediate right. problem here, right? It's not like you can just be like, all right,
I have to sustain this life
for a while. Like you have to know right away, all right, I'm just letting this thing wander into the streets.
This is basically the same predicament new parents face.
Like, I guess so.
We're coming home from the hospital. Uh-oh, we have to keep it alive.
Yeah, like I was gonna go chill, but now this thing's crying again.
Yeah.
So
in the case of maybe the peacock, potentially you would have sort of a like an emotional bond. You're like, well, it's a beautiful animal, endangered species, I gotta take care of it, I can't very well just let it go. The pig, depending on the person, would maybe feel like a bond for the pig. The salamander, I don't know, man. That would be where I would maybe draw the line, is like, salamanders, lizards just exist, this one will be fine.
Yeah,
I gotta tell you, peacocks are kind of mean too. Like I feel like the pig, they, you know, they're big, but, and they're not like dirty by nature. They're dirty to keep cool, and that they're kind of nice. So a lot of pigs are
people
nice.
People keep pigs. That's not a,
no, I mean, none of it's convenient, but I feel like the peacock immediately is like, all right, this thing is pecking at my legs as I walk around my own house. No, it's not listen, just wallowing
you
in
know,
a corner.
Eddie, you lived in Orlando, Florida. We're famous at the bungalow neighborhoods surrounding downtown.
Yeah.
Have free range roaming peacocks going all over the place.
Yeah. Very beautiful. So
just, yeah, they're beautiful. They're just let it go.
Yeah.
Nature works itself out, man. I'm fine.
Nature so you would say if so Eddie, you would say if you can only keep one, you gotta let go of two. You'd say the pig?
I think so because I don't really understand salamander care, but I believe that they need some sort of moisture and I don't want that thing in the bathtub.
No, the peacock, salamander, yeah, just let it go outside.
Yeah, peacock is going to peck you to death. I feel like, well, okay, a pig. Here's just a big bowl of like whatever. I used to put it in my compost pile. Now I just put it in my piggy pile.
This is the problem in South Florida, though, in the Everglades. It's overrun with boa constrictors and other what were pets. People can't take care of the pet. They drive out to the Everglades. They dump it thinking nature will take care of itself. There's no natural predators to the pythons. And the pythons and the anacondas and the boa constrictors have bred and proliferated and have killed the ecosystem down there. So basically, you're going to kill China's ecosystem if you let that salamander loose.
You guys have really messed up now. You're creating this whole race of super snakes, this annihilation style, like shimmering ecosystem that's like, we can't stop it.
No. Florida is a terrible, terrible place.
Yeah.
And we have it in us to really, really mess up a good part of the planet. My other question though is just a pure, like, and maybe this is an oversimplification of the point you're trying to get to, but how do you ship these animals? I mean, are they just in a crate with a hole? I mean, what UPS person is walking up with like a big, you know, pig on a dolly or something? How does this happen?
First of all, China, way less government regulation than we have here. So they,
the government's almost not involved at all in their lives in China. Yeah.
Way less red tape. I have a feeling that in China, the red tape like extends to certain parts of the, you know,
it's almost too much freedom
or whatever, things that people don't really care about. But animals, they're like, you know what? Right. You're all adults out there.
Right, right.
I'm stepping in for Jesse Carey here as the libertarian. You guys are all adults here.
Right.
Figure out how to ship your own animals. So if somebody has a peacock and they want to get it somewhere else, then they'll let you.
Yeah.
You can wrap it up in bubble tape and put a postage sticker on it and they'll find a way to get
it. With just its little head poking out the top so that it can breathe and hope for the best.
I would bet somebody listening to this podcast has a pig for a pet. Like not they don't
100%.
Keep pigs. Oh, but they have a pig walking around the house.
100%.
Totally. 100%.
Like a little pot belly. They're cute.
Yeah, they're kind of cute.
They're clean.
They're really nice little pets.
Yeah, why not?
I'm going to go get one right now. It's almost my birthday.
I'm going to ship you a pet right now on Amazon Prime.
Name it Porky. All right, what do you have, Eddie?
Well, this is going to be kind of a two-parter but the second part is going to have to resolve later because we are in the midst of probably one of the greatest Christmas mysteries ever. 50 years ago, a Canadian man, and I am sorry that he's Canadian, but also this could only happen in Canada. 50 years ago, a Canadian man got a gift from his then girlfriend for Christmas. Adrian Pierce is the fella's name. And in 1970, when he was 17 years old, his girlfriend gave him this Christmas present just before dumping him. So apparently sometime between the giving of the gift and what would have been Christmas Day opening of the gift, he gets dumped. So what does this guy do? What would we do with the gift? We just get rid of it or you open it up real quick and be like, okay, well, at least I got a wallet out of the deal or something like that.
Right.
But this guy, in a move that I'm sure that we will dissect pretty carefully here in just a moment, this guy never opens the gift. And in addition, for the next 50 years, puts it under his tree every year unopened, waiting. Now, what is he waiting for? We don't know. There's this whole conversation about why did this guy do it? But he said that finally this year, after 50 years, he is going to open it up. The woman who he dated and both of them have gone on to like be married, have lives. They haven't like pined for each other. It's just kind of a weird thing. The woman said, I don't even know what I got him. I barely remember the guy. It was just like a high school crush for like around Christmas time. And so now they're going to finally open it. And it was like, it's going to be like a whole thing. He's going to like reveal it online. And the story went viral to see what happened 50 years later. My question for you is, what kind of person, like, how weird is it every year to explain to your wife, like, so you're putting her gift under the tree again? What is it that you're hoping for? And I guess, I mean, you got to just think, well, the guy was longing for her, right? What a weird thing.
How do you handle that as a wife? How do you not, like, goes to bed one, and just chuck it? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Right. Because, like, year one, right, maybe it's like, ah, funny. But, like, it starts to, like, go through, like, waves of Andy Kaufman-esque humor where it's like, this isn't funny anymore. This is messed up, man. And you're doing a viral video about it?
Yeah, that's hurtful.
We've all had a hard time, like, getting over, you know, getting over people. That happens. Yeah. That's understandable. And I can understand not wanting to, like, throw a get, like, you don't want to dump it in the garbage. If you're a sentimental person, I can understand that. But that's like that's 2 weeks, right?
That's like getting your beloved pet taxidermied and you still like hold it in your lap every night and pet it, you know.
If you've quote unquote moved on.
Right, quote unquote. So the big thing is on December 6th, which is not too long from now, there's going to be an event to unwrap it. But the caveat to it is, and this is where you just know this guy loved that girl. The event will happen and the gift will only be unwrapped if the woman who gave it to him, who was then a girl, the girl who gave it to him, shows up to unwrap the gift. If not, his wife will unwrap it.
Oof. What? Right? It's so weird.
This is weird.
I know, man. Like, I read this story.
There's something going on here.
I've clicked through all of, like, the source material just to try to get, like, a quote from the guy where he says, like, yeah, I just have a weird sense of humor and I always thought it was funny. There's none of that. It is just like messed up. And
I'm
so
trying to
imagine
telling my wife this plan. Honey, I've got a great Christmas idea for us.
Yeah.
This is what's going to happen. I still have this gift from a girl I haven't seen in 50?
50. It's like 49 to be completely accurate. It's like 49 years it will be.
And we're going to have a little game, you and me, where I pit you two against each other to have some sort of weird to satiate my Christmas Hunger Games fantasy about what this present is. This is we're already in too deep. We shouldn't know about this stuff. This should be a Reddit thread and then people even in Reddit are like, dude, you got to walk back from the ledge, man. You're married. You're happy. You got a good thing going. Who cares what?
Woman who has lived a full life, the woman who gave him the gift, full life. She's almost 70. Right? She's 50, 67, 68 years old, lived this whole life, has to say to her husband, hey, listen, here's what's going on, man. Like 50 years ago, I dated this weird guy and now there's this whole internet thing happening and people are talking about it. So I'm going to go unwrap the gift on a webcam at his house. So, I mean, there's just no way this isn't just layers of weird.
Yeah. Hmm. Where is this happening? Like what town?
December 6th, somewhere in Canada. So it's just going to be a very
cold place. So it's Canadians. So
what else are they?
Canadians have a weird sense of humor. We have a lot of Canadian listeners because of that fact. So
we do.
And we appreciate them.
So is the guy doing it to be funny or is he just kind of mentally disturbed?
Well, there's not a lot of data there for that. I think part of it is that the video of him talking about it last year went kind of viral. And so, you know, when that happens, people lose their sense of normalcy. Sure. It went from weird to like that guy just can't be trusted. It seems like maybe he has a bit of a sense of humor, but it also is like at the end of the day, you're going to like it's not year 48 that bothers me about the gift. It's year 7 through like 34, right? Where it was like, you're just the middle years where this is just, you just pull it out of the attic and put it under the tree.
You could say that at some point, okay, here's what I would allow. This wouldn't happen in my marriage for sure, but maybe somebody's marriage where it becomes kind of a joke. Like, the old present's been here every year. And isn't it funny that he still had like some girl that we don't even know her. Like, but then to make it into it, to take it to the point where now there's a competition.
Yeah.
That even that excuse is out of the water.
Yeah.
We need, this is what, where we feel the presence of Annie being missed. Like, yeah. I need to understand the female perspective on this one.
Cause I'm also not going to follow up on this. And Annie would also follow up on this. I'm not going to pay attention to it. As soon as we hit stop today, poof, out of my mind. So you guys are going to have to really hold on to this story and give us updates about what happens. And if you're in Canada and you can find the location, and be kind of insert yourself in this story, that would make us just extremely proud.
Stop it. Put an end to it. Save somebody's marriage, for all you know.
Yeah, that's right. So, Merry Christmas, everyone. Happy Black Friday.
That's fascinating, Eddie.
You know, weird one, isn't it?
All right, well, that'll do it for Miniature Slices. Stay tuned. Up next, we wrap things up. You're one of few things that I'm sure of. You're one of few things that I know. You're listening to JP Saxon, Charlotte Lawrence. The song is The Few Things. That is an unbelievable song. Love it. Hey, well, I just want to thank our guests for joining us today. John, Chris, and Aaron Tuning, they are out on tour right now. Go check out the show. It's going to be a lot of fun. You can follow them on Twitter at John Christ. There's no H after the C, just FYI. And at Aaron Tuning, there is an N in his last name.
Couldn't be more clear.
Couldn't be more clear.
John has sold out all over the country, so make sure you go get your tickets.
Hey, well, no, he just actually released or announced like 30 new dates for the spring, so go check that out. Hey, remember, holiday season is upon us. This is a week where a lot of people spend money. If you're in the mood to spend money, head over to the Relevant Store. We've got a lot of new podcast merch, magazines, other brand gear. We think you'll like it. It's store.relevantmagazine.com. You can also just click on the store button right there at our website and check it out. We're doing some specials and discounts and shipping deals for the holiday shopping season, so don't miss it. Hey, and also, if you like the show, head over to iTunes and leave a review. Rate it and leave a review. If you don't like it, keep it to yourself.
You don't want to hear that garbage.
The new issue of Relevant is available now. Lauren Daigle is on the cover. Mark Wahlberg's in it. You heard the interview with him on the last episode. You don't want to miss it. It's packed full of great content. It's available at newsstands nationwide. Most Barnes & Noble carry it. You can also see the digital edition at relevantmagazine.com. You can subscribe now as well. And we're doing a great deal for gift subscriptions if you want to give a subscription to Relevant as a Christmas gift. There's a good deal at relevantmagazine.com/give. Okay, well, on that note, we'll wrap things up. Thanks, guys, for joining us. Sorry it was an unusual crew with no Annie, no Jesse, but this was a lot of fun.
I'm going to talk to HR about this is weird. Yeah. I feel very disoriented right now. But, yeah.
I won't appear with Jesse, but I usually only appear with Annie. So everything we're going to just have to talk offline about, what the future holds for me here.
I had a good time. That was fun.
Well, I'm Cameron Strang.
I'm Chandler Strang.
I'm Tyler Huckabee.
I'm Eddie Koffeltz.
And we will see you on Friday, Black Friday, as you stand in line in the cold, cold weather.
Thank you for listening to the Relevant Podcast. If you like what you heard, be sure to leave us a review on iTunes. Check out other shows from the Relevant Podcast Network in the podcast section at relevantmagazine.com. And while you're there, browse exclusive podcast merchandise at our online store. Make sure to subscribe to Relevant Magazine. Info is available at relevantmagazine.com/subscribe. Relevant Podcast Network.